Hello and welcome to the Watson Weekend. We are your hosts. I'm Rick Watson.
I am not Jessica Lisewski. I am Nick Kaplan, standing in for her today, and so happy to be actually like sitting here like with you. I don't know if I look at you, do I look at my camera?
I can reach out and touch.
I mean, I've been waiting for this for so long, but today we are here with the Watson Weekend, which is your weekly dose of medicine that will probably go down a little bit less smoothly with the two of us together, but we're talking all things retail tech into e-commerce, and I am super happy to be here.
Yeah, I mean, and just an upfront apology, we're not professionals, no. In case that has never been clearer in the history of this program, but we like to think we're raising the bar here by having us both in the same place.
It's real.
I'm real. It's real. That hurt a little.
Okay, sorry.
Just a reminder, we are sponsored by Miracle because traditional e-commerce is just code for not growing. It's time to do better than the status quo. There's over 450 retailers that are growing 6 times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next with marketplace, dropship, and retail media all in one place. So you should check them out. Thank you again, Miracle, for sponsoring the show.
Thank you. So we...
What are you doing here?
I mean, I don't know that people know that like we actually like work together. Like we actually are in our offices. We have this great studio in the offices. And when Rick, who was the builder of this studio, was like, hey, I'm going to take this conference room and make it a studio. I was like, cool, we'll use it. But I've actually never used it. I'm excited. I feel like I've been called up to the major leagues today. So
yeah, I mean, just to remind you of the show, this is kind of the Shopify editions recap. Neither Nick nor I were there at the event in Toronto, but we clearly know many people who were, and we recorded a quick episode with a number of folks: Mark Perini, Nick Thompson, who likely many of you know, and then Jacqueline Lawfer, who also singer behind the Watson Weekend intro song.
Best song ever.
Best podcast song on the market. That's for what sure. Michael Cantrell told me.
I am always singing that song. So, but I think it's going to be super cool. I mean, we're here together a lot. We do a lot together. We went to the lead together. I watched your talk, which I thought was actually a great talk about social commerce. And I think that we have some super interesting things to talk about today before getting into the Shopify edition. So,
let's take us into the headline hangover. Thanks to Passport for sponsoring it, as always.
Nice.
Take us away, Nick.
So I feel like I need to be repowered. So, you know, my coffee here. And so
this is a timely story for you.
I love Peloton. We are always talking about it. I'm a user, used it this morning. I think pandemic was so good to Peloton, really transforming them from an idea that was catching on to a staple. I think that Peloton really ran into problems not recognizing the fact that they were a content provider, not a hardware company, and really created tons of problems. And so they continue to try to iterate, evolve, and you know, sort of we see this like in their stock price. And so this week they announced that they're creating a marketplace about the ability for the user community, which Peloton is all about, to effectively sell peer-to-peer. For many of you that know me, peer-to-peer is like my future of commerce, like 100% heading that direction. And so what they did is they said, why should Facebook get all the love in the marketplace business? We're going into it too. So they did launch the marketplace. I mean, I don't know how much it's going to move the needle. I think it could potentially put equipment and other things in people's hands, but it was a story this week. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, look, Peloton, I have the ultimate respect for Peloton and what it built as a brand, including the founder, John Foley, who was my former boss at Barnes & Noble.
That's right.
As an operator, I mean, I kind of feel like he went through the most difficult time of the pandemic that you can ever imagine in the history of this type of business. And it's almost like he got bucked off the horse, because of the supply chain whiplash. And now launching a marketplace, look, first of all, it's not going to save the business. And the question is, can Peloton make more money from selling other people's used Pelotons than it can from selling their own equipment? It's not a solution to the problem per se. So I'm a little bit concerned that the company still is looking for its next act.
I agree. And, you know, last kind of point I'll put on this before getting to the next story is Peloton is a content provider, right? And I think they do it really, really well. The trainers and the coaches have amazing personalities and social platforms, and Peloton needs to continue to figure out almost like a joint venture, right? It's like, what is the incentive for an instructor to co-op with them and build a brand? It is not to see like, can I make some margin on a bike? I mean, you know, period, the end. That's But I love Peloton, and I'm really hoping it never goes away.
Yeah, my last word in this topic is like, you're kind of sweaty, and I would never want to buy your used Peloton, for the record. But
Noted.
Next story, we're going to get into Temu here, which is now over half off. I think, this is an event that many people have been waiting for. The secret of a business model that sort of takes off and is like a rocket ship to the moon, and everyone is waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it seems like the other shoe has finally dropped at Temu through a confluence of factors. Number one is sort of continued U.S. pressure on China with trade regulations and labor and all these things. Second is de minimis, a huge loophole law that not only Temu, but many others were taking advantage of to ship directly from consumer under $600 or $800, as that has evolved over the years. Third, the tariffs seem to have put another huge chink in the armor. And then sort of the final death blow is Temu slashing its ad budgets, sometimes up to 75%, which was, I don't know if you want to predict what the, Kaplan is a big fan of like the value of your business is the 12 month trailing customer file. I don't imagine if you could probably draw out what the Temu customer file looks like. And it's a lot of new customers and not a lot of repeating customers. And so what happens when you slash your ad budget, Nick?
You die.
So that's what's happening. Temu's daily active users have been downgraded 60%.
Yeah, I heard 58%, right? From March to May from pre to post.
So it's a death spiral.
Look, I think that, you know, on the one hand, as a consumer, the ability to buy cheap things from China is appealing. But as an operator that is looking to have somewhat of a level playing field, the de minimis thing has always been a challenge. I think that, you know, brilliant on Shein's part. I remember in 2016, when still operating a business, speaking to my biggest supplier, who's like 35%, saying, hey, Zach, there's this business called Shein. Can we figure out a distribution center in Shenzhen? DHL is like 3 to 8 days. And that's before everything evolved. Right. But they're done. I mean, I can't think about it any other way. I think the math just doesn't work. It's going to be interesting. And I have another topic for another time, but it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out. I mean, the consumer needs or really wants those inexpensive things from overseas. The government, the administration doesn't want to let them have it anymore. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, Temu, sayonara.
See you later. Sayonara, wrong language, but we're close.
Thanks for, no, sayonara, adios. Like, you're done. I think it's
in all right. Languages. On our next one, we were both at the lead last week. As you mentioned, I spoke about social commerce. We met with a lot of friends. Chris Silver was a co-host of a fantastic post-show party hosted also with Enterprise Ireland. We have an Irish producer.
We do. I mean, it was a...
Tell us about the lead.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was great. Enjoyed attending. I think Noah and Sonal put on a good show. I think... Saw a couple things for the first time that were actually interesting.
You're supposed to act like you're excited.
I mean, I hear this from my kids all the time. My kids are like, you're grumpy. And like Watson is like the guy that can tell me that. But no, seriously, I think there was time to walk through a small show, but it had good vendors that were not like pay to play in terms of like one was like 100 times the size of another. Some interesting content. Like I said, I mean, obviously there's a bias, but I really did enjoy the conversation that you had around social commerce. I think it was well attended and like insightful things added by David and David. I think it was interesting. The thing I'm walking away from that is this, like hands off keyboard is happening. Mm-hmm. There were two products. Hands off keyboard is happening, and a really, really big focus now on sources of traffic, meaning like people really parsing apart who's coming from where, what is their value, what is their behavior showing. So, I don't want to mention like names, but there were some really, really interesting things.
There are a lot of good small vendors at the show that you don't see at every other show. I think mainly because the big folks, Shopify, Klaviyo, Salesforce, whatever, they're not taking up huge swaths of the floor.
But they weren't there.
They weren't there at all.
Which is,
I agree.
Which I thought was interesting. Typically, you do see them there. So it was an opportunity to see what's happening. And there are some interesting things happening.
Awesome. Now, that's the lead. We appreciate you sticking through us with the headline hangover. We're going to jump right into our recap of Shopify Editions. I'm excited.
Me too.
I'm going to be in it interviewing. We'll be in the comments talking about it. So see you there.
Happy to have this esteemed group here. Let's start with Nick, head of partnerships for the Maze Group, Shopify system integrator. Mark Perini, founder of IC Social, another Shopify system integrator. Jackie, it's hard to describe all the things you do. Musician, as we see in the background, partner at Driver Digital, another Shopify system integrator, also work a lot with Driver Creative, design agency. So thank you guys for being here, and feel free to correct me if I got anyone's background incorrect.
Perfect. As usual.
No, and always love collaborating with RMW, of course.
So we're excited. Look, you guys just went to the Kool-Aid Mecca. And it sounds like it was a fantastic week, super high energy. Let's just like go around the horn. What are like two immediate things that you took out? Like if you had described the week you had in a couple of impressions, like a dream almost, like what would you tell a friend about that dream?
Hamburger buns with Shopify logos pressed into the buns. That's like literally what I'm like remembering.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It was very high touch.
We need very pictures. High touch.
I know, totally. but community, oh my God, it was so great to be with everybody and just like really get to know everybody even more or see really old friends. And just like, you could really feel the spirit of how great this community is.
Yeah, it was truly Shopify Central there. I mean, not only did they have Editions, which was happening on the Friday, which was all the partners coming around from, what do they say, like 52 countries globally, but then right across the street, you had everybody else from Shopify there. So they had, you could never achieve a higher density of Shopify knowledge. So that was pretty awesome, just having all of that there and just like learning about, like, if I talk about like product stuff, like immediate things came to mind, like Sidekick and all the things that they're doing there. And sort of that conversation that Glenn and Toby had was really eye-opening and insightful. And then just also thinking about what they're doing with like staging environments. I think that was kind of tucked in a little bit, but I think that was really powerful as far as like where that's going to go. So for me, that was great.
Yeah, it felt like Toronto was electric, you know? So I got off the flight and electric. I just felt like everybody, I felt like everybody that was getting off the flight with me was going to Editions, you know? Like that's how it felt, which like, I feel like this year felt really electric again. Like I just feel like people were pumped. But also there was just so much change and so many, I feel like there was position changes even. For me, what stuck out, I'm big on the POS side. So POS as a platform for me really stuck out. Like that was something that was talked about a lot. So I think between AI and POS as a platform, those were the two things that I think were hot button issues that generally everybody was talking about.
That's amazing. And I think that definitely reflected, as someone who wasn't there, it came out in the editions release. AI was clearly a hot button. I'm surprised no one mentioned design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the future of design at Shopify. Do you guys want to talk about that?
I saw what Carl mentioned. So uh-huh. Carl was talking about where you're not even going to use dropdowns to get through the Shopify interface. You're going to essentially use natural language to get exactly what you want when you need it. And Glenn and Toby, when they spoke, kind of hinted at it also, like, what if Shopify was designed for you at that moment? So if you're, I don't know, a store that sells, I don't know, dresses, you're going to have a different interface than a store that sells thread or a store that sells circuitry. And actually having the platform grow with you as a business, like, oh, now you want to go international? Like, we're showing you markets where you hadn't had it before in the background.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The design side of it, I mean, it's, yeah, fantastic, like, where they're moving with it. And I mean, like, this is, I think, caught a lot of people potentially off guard because there's just, I think they just move so fast sometimes you don't really know what's going to come next. And so,
like, right.
Where are they going to invest in? Yeah. So yeah, design front is fantastic. I'm excited.
Yeah. So just recapping these impressions, POS, AI, Sidekick, mm-hmm. Just kind of the electric atmosphere for Toronto, the community, like how supportive the people were there. I think Jackie, you and I were trading stories about what you experienced there. I don't know if you have any anecdotes to share, you know, while you were there with either this group or who I know you spent time with, but also others that are not in this call here.
Oh my gosh. I mean, well, also I feel like we need to layer in B2B too, because B2B was another major talking point and so many of the business tracks were focused around that. So, yeah, that definitely is another hot topic for sure. But yeah, I mean, it was incredible. What I realized is how old I am and how long I've been in this business to have like seen people that have like taken me under their wing when I was back at my days at Bliss. You know, all of my counterparts that worked at Born Agency, they've all moved on to different agencies, including Brad, who's now at Domain and leading B2B, and Keith Paris, he is at Rhapsody. So, you know, these guys like took me under their wing when I was at Bliss, like a little duckling. And it was like amazing to be with them as another agency owner and to just be with them. So that was really cool. And also on the partner side, like all of the different tools that we all use and just like having time with everybody there, I thought was really nice. So.
Yeah, it feels like a reunion. You know, you go back every year and it feels like a work reunion, like a high school reunion or something, you know.
It really
high
does.
High school reunion. That's going to be I think that'll be a good one. It's like the Shopify high school reunion.
Seriously.
Yep.
It really is.
And people asking what was the first editions or first Unite that you went to? That's their old name for the partner event.
Yeah.
You know, dating back all the way to like 2016 is when they kicked that off.
Yeah.
I was at that first one. I was at the first Unite. Yeah. Yeah.
I missed that.
Me too. Yeah, it was, and Mark, like I haven't seen you in person and since we had margaritas together launching a project. So it was like so great to like be in the same room with you for
it was like pre-COVID, I feel like.
Yeah, totally. So
yeah. That's amazing. One of the things you mentioned, Nick, I wanted to pull on as we kind of get into the next part, like we're beyond kind of like the initial impressions, but you mentioned, and we'll start with you because of that, a lot of people could be caught off guard by what happened. And that implies that like, almost like the favorite corporate things, like what got you here won't get you there. Like Shopify is going to a different place. The way agencies worked with Shopify, and really it feels like Shopify has been changing that the past 3-4 years.
Yep. Like
the value that Shopify puts on agencies and the value that brands get from agencies has already been changing, but it just seems like that is going to be on steroids the next 4 or 5 years. Talk to me about the future of system integrators as a category. Let's just start here for a second. And what does that mean for agencies that realize it and agencies that don't realize it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, like if you look at Shopify and what they've been doing, they're investing, what do they say, like roughly $1.3 billion in just development and just all of the R&D. And so that's going to result and manifest in multiple different areas. And they're constantly adjusting that too. They're constantly looking at the data, what's working and what's not, and figuring out, all right, like, what should we be doing more of? And clearly you could see POS, B2B, you know, sidekicks with AI, all the things. A lot of these are still, you know, quite developed. I think, like, you know, POS is getting much more developed every quarter. And then things still, like Rick, you were talking about earlier, I think, with Sidekick in your post, just being a little bit more speculative right now, because, and that's something that Toby and Glenn were talking about. I mean, like, everybody's got to experiment right now, right? And, you know, there's going to be winners and nobody can predict where things are going to go with it. So you just got to take that constantly testing mentality. So, well, where this applies to like SIs and just agencies in general, I mean, you just got to look at like, how are we approaching this with Shopify? How are we aligning to Shopify well? And how are we as SIs and agencies staying flexible? I mean, if you're not flexible, I mean, you probably haven't lasted too long with Shopify. But if you're not, if you've maybe taken this point from maybe like even just a year ago, like, all right, we're going to be all in on this part of it. And then, you know, the market has changed and Shopify has changed as well, and you can't keep up with that. That's going to be very hard. I mean, I take for an example would be like Shopify Hydrogen and doing headless builds. I mean, like those seem to be actively like moving over more to full stack, really questioning their change that they made over to headless over the last couple of years. So it's not just Shopify. I mean, it's like anybody that's chosen that. I mean, it seems like, not quite a dirty word yet, but to say if you're headless, but you know.
It's a dirty word to me. Yeah. Don't worry, Nick. Yes.
Well, I heard people saying that they just won't even take on headless builds anymore. Like that it has to be exactly like it needs to be ERP, CMS, /OMS, /all of these things that are happening. And I heard a lot of people that just generally saying they just won't even take it on. And I think everybody's kind of had a shift there.
Yeah, we've certainly taken on some rescues of brands that have moved to headless and really regretted it, or at least seen nowhere near the performance gains that they were expecting to come out of that. So, and one final thing I think I'd add maybe is just from a strategy perspective. Mm. I mean, offline before we were talking about just trust and, you know, building trust. Like, trust is that one thing that's never going to be commoditized. And so, who are you going to trust out there? Are you going to trust the folks that have experience, have done this before? Or are you going to trust the folks that are just parroting whatever is out there and without really any sort of opinion about that? So I think people are going to really need that sense of just strategic guidance on everything, because AI is a helper and all of that, but it's not it's not going to give you the answers you need.
So I have to admit, so when we were sitting in the keynote and they showed Sidekick in the theme editor and they did that prompt and it like outputted this like floating product card module, like the whole crowd made noise, obviously, I think. And I personally, as on the sales side and also on like more of the solutioning side, I thought to myself, oh my God, this is the decimation of agencies. I had that moment. And then I was like, but wait, this doesn't work fully yet. And, you know, like I leaned in a little bit and I was like, okay, I need to like not be afraid and lean in. And also remember that like AI does not have authenticity. Like, and this goes back to what you were saying, Nick, about trust. Like, there's so much that just still needs to be validated. And also from like a creative standpoint, and also from like a quality of code standpoint, like having that authenticity and that care, like AI is not there yet. So
yeah. If you just like go back to just the overall event as a whole with Shopify Editions coming together and like everybody getting together, you know, you build a lot more trust when you're talking with somebody in person about something. I mean, that's something that we're starting to do a lot more heavily this year, just like getting into events, getting in front of folks, because there's so much that you can do, you know, online here and writing thought pieces and whatnot and doing strategy, but when you actually get in front of folks to kind of share that, it's a great way for people to understand you better.
Totally.
Well, and I also think a big message that Shopify was putting out there, and Bobby said it, Harley said it, Toby said it, Glenn said it, is that they trust partners. So I think like that's a big note here was, hey, we're going to build you the tools and the tool set for you guys to be able to build what we need in the future, what you think we need. And even with Toby and Glenn, they were talking about AI and they were kind of saying, hey, we're building this. We don't exactly know where this is going or where this is headed. Right. Like we have an idea. We're going to like channel the chaos down this hallway and kind of like have everybody pick the pieces that they want to work on. But I think the messaging was really about partners and the trust that Shopify has with partners and being able to have the partners kind of say, hey, we're seeing the winds blow this way. Let's build towards that. So that was a message that I heard loud and clear anyway.
Totally. And so many of the business breakout sessions, we heard that too.
Yeah. Yeah. But you think about just like on an enterprise side, like, you know, that's obviously something Shopify has been going after heavily. I know Bobby mentioned 80% growth in that over the last year or last year, I guess it was. And I mean, they hardly love to talk about, this was earlier in the year, talking about NRF and just how many brands were coming to their booth and just volume of meetings that they're having and everybody's talking with them and wanting to learn more. And I think you see that I think you're going to see probably one or two like large enterprise brands this year make a decision for Shopify. I'm aware of sort of rumblings of what's going on there, but I think where they're going to land that client, they're going to announce it and everybody's going to be like, ah, that's enterprise.
It's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. It's happening now. I mean, like the POS example they like to bring up was Follett Textbooks, and Follett Textbooks, you know, as Parley's talked about this publicly before already too, like, over 1,000 locations, you know, colleges, universities around the U.S., and that is the largest POS implementation that they're currently doing. So massive deal for Shopify. But the interesting part about it is that Follett came to them. Like, they didn't have to go out to Follett. Follett came to them. They had some motivated folks internally that wanted to learn more about it, and they realized, hey, like, this is legit, and, you know, we're gonna do this.
They also mentioned in one of the slides around POS that they signed a reseller. So they signed CDW. Yes. So I think like that's also a signal of enterprise, right? Because instead of the enterprise having to sign agreements or not, you know, all of these non-disclosures, all this stuff, they're just signing with CDW and then essentially reselling everything through them. So to me, that was a big signal of the rise of enterprise, just like having them as a reseller.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I mean, like, if you think about the brands that are talking to Shopify, I mean, I think they want to talk with Salesforce brands all day long. I mean, everybody's seen the lack of innovation that's been happening there for the last several years. I mean, we're seeing it. I mean, my CEO Vince was talking about just how a lot of them are just stuck right now.
Yeah.
Trying to get them to move. And so coming up with like plans for folks on how to do that, that's like another area of differentiation.
So you guys got about trust and trust goes a couple of directions, trust between SIs and the brands that you're working with, trust between Shopify and the SIs, which seems clear. And obviously part of the event is to gain that. Let's talk about like, if there are things that SIs need to start doing that many of them are not doing today, what would you put on that list? Maybe start with you, Mark. You've been uncharacteristically quiet.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would say, I think it's, we had so many discussions around AI. So I think like going here is a direction that we should talk about. Mm-hmm. I was saying to the guys before we went on, we talked to agency owners, a bunch of agency owners, and the ones that were really, really petrified of AI were non-technical. The technical founders and a lot of the technical people that we spoke about or with was like, AI is going to be a tool that we use to accelerate and like push these efficiencies. But I personally, and this is a hot take, but I personally don't think that AI is an agency killer. I think that it's going to make agencies more nimble. It's going to make agencies more effective. And I also think that you should be building towards AI. So Glenn and Toby are sending signal. They're saying, hey, we built this global catalog. it's going to encompass every single product that's on Shopify, mm-hmm. every single one. Now, how you opt in, how you do the channels, all of that is still up for question. But this is signal that like personal shopping from AI is coming. And one other like little snippet that I caught as a soundbite was Glenn was talking about a global cart also. So to me, that means like, hey, you could personal shop, have, you know, Le Alfre shirt and Bonobos pants or Buck Mason pants and be able to check out in the same cart. Now, again, there was nothing like said about that. He just mentioned it offhand. But, but I could see a world where that makes sense. And I can also see a world where multi-brands, where you're like a Banana Republic Gap, all of a sudden now they could come over to Shopify if there's a unified cart that could exist between three different short stores. So that's what I'm saying. Like, look for signal and build towards that. That's generally what I'm seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
Shopify marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Rick's been a crier for the Shopify marketplace.
Is it going to happen? Like, look, if it's going to happen, let's get on with it. You know, and that's kind of been my point. Like, let's stop this sort of half thing. If the LLMs are going to become the global marketplace, just because that's what consumers want, and it's just so easy, and everyone's now like, especially this group, and I'm sure the Editions crew too, just using LLMs like so many times a day now. Compared to obviously before they existed, you're already there. And so there's a huge advantage of that. And Shopify can't block its merchants off of that. It's literally impossible for them to do so. So like, why not build and expose it? What does that mean for the Shop app? I think is an open question. Does the need for Shop app, is there a need for the Shop app anymore? And is that okay? It probably is, from my point of view. It's totally fine that like there's a sort of a little bit of a creative destruction here. Like Shop app, like it used to be Arrive, right? I mean, like a shipping shipping tracker. That was the original thing. Like, how can we dip our toe into consumer outside of Shop Pay? But now it's like, if the discovery and loyalty goal of that's the loyalty question, I'm not sure LLMs will get you. Shop app. Get you there, but if that's 80% of Shop App is the discovery and all that stuff, like what does it mean for Shop App is a open question for me.
Well, I also think part of the Shop App thing, so if you look at Square, right, sorry, I'm gonna go POS because that's like
I know. Keep but doing like, it
do it Mark
but Pio, like on Square, when you go to your coffee shop and use your credit card at a Square reader, it remembers who you are. It links you to loyalty and all of that. Yeah. So Shopify's baked some of that into the POS with Shop Pay, but also the Shop app of like recognizing who you are, giving you the points, getting you in store, you know, receipts and that sort of thing. So I think that at least in my mind, that's where the Shop app and Shop Pay kind of co-mingle in identification. And that to me is where that meets.
That's cool.
Yeah. Nick, you were going to say something.
There's not too much, I think, in there necessarily with the Shop app for like agencies and SIs. I mean, it's something that we're going to enable and activate for folks, but I think the Shop Pay implementation off platform, that's an interesting one. But yeah, I'd say like the things that agencies and SIs need to be considering more is just like, like you said, Mark, read the signals and listen to those. And, you know, POS is certainly a big one right now. I think B2B, of course, as well, just follow the investment and where they're promoting.
Yeah.
Totally.
How about you, Jackie? Like, what are things that you think that agencies need to be doing more of as they come out of Editions? Like, let's say they didn't go to Editions, like, and you were going to talk to another agency founder that, you know, has some experience, but may not be as deep in it as you guys are. Sure. Like, what advice would you give them?
It's a great question. I would definitely just say to double down on POS and B2B and just like really dig into the academy and like get as many learnings as possible. Talk to someone like Mark Freeney, who's done a gazillion POS migrations. B2W, Mark, that invite from me is coming very soon because I want to chat with you about some stuff.
Sure.
I think, you know, just like, I think also just my biggest takeaway is just like leaning into where your differentiation is, right? So like really zeroing in on that, like, and that's what we're doing at Driver Digital. David is so focused on that right now about like, who is our customer and like really identifying that person or that merchant and what our value add is to for them. That's what I would recommend. And also I just like learned about so many new different amazing tools. I'm very excited about a lot of people that I met. Names are escaping me right now, but I'll follow up.
I wanted to start the discussion a little bit about like, what does the opposite of the agency of the future look like? I mean, for instance, like if you had been an agency that's been doing business the same way for the past 10 years, what do you immediately need to stop doing, like from you guys' point of view?
Moving people to Salesforce? No, it's a joke. Sorry.
It's so good.
Yeah. Looking at just how much cost I can extract from a brand, like that's something that, you know, any agency is that's going to try and evolve is not going to succeed with. I mean, like I've seen brands or agencies that we've competed against that tried to keep brands on other platforms because that's where the money was, you know, stay with legacy. And that's obviously benefiting only one. It's not benefiting the client. And you have to just always think about like, what's going to be best for the client? How are we going to really help grow their business? How are we going to help them focus on what they do really well and magnify that versus just try and build out things just for the sake of it?
Yeah. And I think partnerships is somewhere where there was a change, especially in the last 10 years. And I'm big on partnerships. We have great tech partners, but I don't care how much you're paying us or what the revenue share is. If it's not right for the client, it's not right for the client. And I care about the client the most. So like you could take us to Japan on an all expense paid trip. Doesn't matter. Like, if it's not the right app for the partner or for the merchant, then the partnership is great. And I value that. But also I think there's this old kind of mafioso world of like give and take. We're signing you up for this app because we've known each other for 40 years. Like, I think that's gone. I think it's really about what's the right fit for the client. And no matter what's the right fit for the client, because the lifetime value, like I care about my merchants more than I care about the partnership. And I think that's kind of within the last 10 years, that's evolved and that's changed. And I think if that's still your preset as an agency, that's something that's got to change now.
Yeah, I would maybe Jackie, I don't know if you want to add one thing.
I was just going to say, Mark, I'm so glad that you said that because I'm seeing with so many clients, like these decisions that were made for purely these partnership deals and they were the wrong decisions. And so untangling that, and that goes back to what you were saying before, Nick, is just like having that trust, like people come to us because they know that we're going to lead them in the right direction. So sorry, Nick, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, not at all. Yeah. I'll let you have the last word. We're good. But I mean, yeah, there's so much to ponder as far as like where agencies can go and what they should be doing and what they should be doing well. And I mean, it's always like, I think some of those ones that are more opinionated are probably going to be limiting themselves because you need to provide options for brands. And if you have a very opinionated sort of build mindset and almost a template, really, that's not terribly helpful. I mean, some things are standard, you know, Shopify makes a lot of sense, but then there's other parts and components that aren't.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess I'm going to present a hypothetical agency based on like my own observations about what's happening across agencies historically, but also within Shopify in particular. Like, let's say you used to have like a 400K Magento build like 8 years ago or whatever, right? Like those things have been dead for a long time. Shopify build, the build prices have come down, which has placed pressure on kind of the retainers. Retainers have either gone away or gotten like very small because you don't need like a whole bunch of developers. Like for certain things you do, And there's always QA, and there's always like helping, you know, to your point, Mark and Nick, there's also the trust aspect of introducing the merchant to new apps and the value of that and making sure they work together and the experience, all those things. That said, retainers are going down, like the levels are going down. Mm-hmm. And so if you're an agency who like, okay, I'm going to pivot into CRO and I'm going to pivot into design, and I just saw additions drop. Mm-hmm. In the light of those things I just talked about, like, now what? Is my idea that I pivoted into design, is that like suddenly a bad idea? Mm-hmm. Or how do I like grow my agency? Like, where the lever is going to come from? Is it more strategic? Is it different services? Is more like lifecycle marketing, like in the Klaviyo direction, that kind of thing? Or talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, for us, I mean, we've always operated on the retention side. So, you know, partner with Klaviyo and Iterable and others out there. And so like anything that can tie those two businesses, like the SI side and the retention side, is going to be important for us. So I think, you know, what Klaviyo is building out with, you know, the B2C CRM and sort of the customer hub that they've been building out is really interesting there, because you can take that and build for Shopify too. So anything that kind of joins those two is an interesting space for us. And just overall, like, yeah, like I said before, like the strategy piece, like being much more, I think it's almost uncomfortable sometimes, like putting ourselves much more out there than we would have in the past. Like a few years ago, you didn't have to have sort of the presence and talking about things so much, but now people really see that and they demand it. And so that's something that we're having to focus on a lot more.
On the design side, I would say that I don't think that would be a mistake, because I think, you know, really strong design and a point of view is still something that brands need, right? You still need innovation in that area. And I don't think that that is a terrible thing. That being said, I absolutely think that you need to double down also in the technical areas as well. Like that's something, you know, Driver, we are not, you know, engineer led. We are design led. And also I'm on the digital solution side. So we're not engineer led. So we really are, like, we just hired a CTO, Maria Carter. She's, you know, we are focusing in that area so we can start to, you know, take on more complex partners and be a more technical solutions partner for our merchants.
Well, I just want to add to that a little bit. Like, sure, AI is coming for CRO, but I don't know if you've used AI for CRO. Like it's talking about the basics, right?
It's
like,
not there yet.
No, it's like
the higher level.
No. It's like sticky add to cart and like add to cart above the fold. Like, sure, those are all things that will help, but like it's also about brand identity and those things. And Glenn, they were talking about this on the AI talk, like, When everybody, even Delta 5 years ago, you would still see like Delta's mobile site. It was like an m.delta.com.
Yeah.
So like everybody was building these desktop/mobile when mobile came, right?
Yeah.
But now mobile's probably 65%, 70%. And in some cases, our brands, it's like 90% of traffic. But that doesn't mean you don't build a desktop site, right? So even if AI comes for design and like everything can be like, built with their eye. Sure. But you're still going to need the brand identity. You're still going to need a site that people are going to shop, because even if it goes to 1%, you're still going to build something for the 1% of users. So that's where I think some of this is, like, if design is your passion and that's what you have the experiences in, then like you're going to adapt to everything that's happening in the design space. So that's my position. I'm also not anti-AI. I just want to be clear. I just don't know that AI is going to like remove humans. You know, like I think the people that have been removed because of AI, their job probably didn't need to exist in an efficient, you know, like in an efficient way. So again, like this isn't me coming for AI or coming for anyone that lost their job to AI. I'm just saying, I think there's another devil's advocate to this. That's like, people who are using AI to augment what they're already doing are going to be the people that come ahead after everything falls down.
Right.
Is there going to be an agency? Look, you're telling us what happened at Editions. You're saying like there's a lot of promise in the future. You're saying what people should avoid, what should they lean into? Are people going to hear it? Is one question. And is there going to be an agency extinction event as a result?
I think that there might be. That's my hunch. But I think it's because people aren't listening or leaning in or making changes, et cetera. But I do think that we're going to see a decrease in agencies. That's my, if I'm looking at it.
So you think there'll be fewer agencies today than there will be in the future, like 2 years from now than today?
I think so.
I think there'll be more consolidation for sure. I mean, it's interesting. Like I've been working in the Shopify agency space since 2017, since I was there. And like, I haven't seen any, at least in like the higher end, like Shopify Plus agencies just go away, like just close, shutter their doors. Yeah. Like they've
been acquired.
They've been acquired. Right. There's been a ton of acquisitions that have happened and, you know.
BVA and Stable and like.
Yeah. All of those. Yeah. Yeah.
All these ones.
Accenture and all the rest of it. I
mean, Diff.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Diff, yeah. Plenty. I mean, you know, there have been.
Half Helix.
Yeah. There have been plenty of the GSIs, though, that still haven't acquired any Shopify agents that are out there or SIs. Like, you know, nothing's happened from EY.
Which one of you guys will be next is my next question to you.
So,
plotting.
Right.
Who knows? But yeah, I think it's a good spot that I think if an agency is well aligned to Shopify right now and they stay that way, it's going to work well.
What do you think, Mark?
I think that if the bigger agencies can be nimble, if they can use kind of like build another team that's doing nimble design or nimble builds or that sort of thing, I think that's the pivot, right? I think the pivot is like, can you act as a startup in this time? Because the biggest thing that I saw from Shopify on the stage was they were kind of saying, yes, we're at enterprise scale and we can do this for enterprise, but we act as a startup. Like Toby will come into like the development meetings, you know, and be like, this isn't what we want, or this is what we want. We love this. We don't love this. And so my thinking is the more that agencies can act like a startup, that those are the agencies that are going to succeed. And I think that's been proven time and time again, right? Like the agencies that are winning are the ones that are adapting and, you know, having the foresight and the signal from the platforms as to what to build and where to build it. I think that's the recipe for success.
Mark, what you just said too about larger agencies being more nimble, I feel like that is so important. I'm calling to all my larger agency friends that own those businesses, like stay fresh. Don't go too crazy in your process, because even seeing it on the RFP side, it really can get you into trouble. And that's not what clients want to work with all the time. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to go down a topic that you said before, Mark, where you talked about your brand long-term customer value is paramount over your kind of like your tech and referral partners. And frankly, like if I drill in on that, that attitude really comes from the top. And by the top, I mean, that's Shopify's attitude toward the entire ecosystem. Like it's a brand merchant first culture. And just because we said something 2 years ago doesn't mean we can't change the rules for better and worse for the players and the ecosystem. But this is like, this is the new set of rules. You're going to have to align to them or you're going to be like roadkill, frankly, in some cases. Do you think that's fair?
I think Shopify is a merchant first organization. I think that they'll say it like at the top, at the bottom. Yeah. You know, I think partnerships is a, you know, they said something like 4x, you know, like 4 times the revenue is brought in, you know, like by partners and that sort of thing. So I think they know the value of partners, but ultimately if there was a decision between merchants and partners, they would choose merchants. And me as a partner, I understand that because I'm doing the same thing with my customers. So like we're aligned in that vision, even though that's to the detriment of me, right? But aligning in that vision means that you're aligned from the top down with where they're going, which is ultimately, I make the joke that Ice Social grew up with Shopify, like alongside Shopify. but it's true because the visions are aligned.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Staying close to Shopify and just like keeping track of as many changes as possible. I mean, part of the job of an agency now, or even a decent size job, is communication between, you know, Shopify and our clients, and just like, hey, here's what's going on right now. Here's what's going on in the market. Here's what's going on with Shopify. Here's what's going on in the competition, all the, you know, the ecosystem. Here's how to make sense of some of it. Sometimes it's just like, here's presenting the news and what's up.
Yeah.
And just helping folks navigate it. Cause you know, we're all in this and like looking at all just the constant stream of information every day and trying to keep aligned as best we can.
Yeah. And I want to go to the implications for the broader ecosystem beyond agencies to the tech partners themselves, the solution, the software solutions, whether they're AI based or traditional SaaS based, which some people say might be going the way of the dodo. The big elements we saw coming out of Edition: Sidekick, staging, POS, AI, B2B. Mm-hmm. What are the implications for the app ecosystem? And although none of you guys run software companies, SIs as a category are 30 to 50% of the revenue of software companies from a referral and sales channel point of view. So I think that we're getting photobombed by your dog. I love that, Mark. So
like,
let's Izzy, lean into that
Izzy,
for a second.
Izzy is the puppy chief time. Cuddle officer.
Hi. This is so great.
Puppy time.
So talk to me about the app ecosystem. Like, if you are a software company, what do you do? What does this mean to you? What would you recommend to your tech partners?
I mean, I was going to say, I think that there's been Editions and Unites in the past where they've kind of gone on a killing spree of apps, you know, and I didn't feel that this time.
Okay.
If anything, I felt like they were saying, if you want to build, here are the places to build. Cause I think they've heard that in the feedback loop of, hey, this is where to build and this is where it makes sense. I do think that SIs can be a little more nimble in the like, hey, we're pushing towards this or we're pushing towards that. If you have an app that's in a situation that Shopify is not building towards or building with, then that's definitely more difficult. But if you have the software chops, then you can use that signal to spin up something else.
Yeah, just staying as nimble as possible. I mean, like, I know that's pretty nebulous, but I mean, there's just trying to read as many signals you can and stay as close to Shopify as possible and just figure out what they're doing. Because these app partners, there's going to be certainly less of them in the future, I think, but that doesn't mean there's going to be it doesn't mean there aren't going to be partners. Like they're going to be absolutely necessary. And Shopify has shown that they need them for so much. And that's part of their ongoing strategy. It's just the ones that are going to be out there, probably certainly some consolidation, but the features that I think.
Do you think there's going to be consolidation because of merchant budgets, or do you think there are going to be consolidation because of AI or something that Shopify is doing?
Well, I mean, we're thinking about things in the perspective of, 2025 right now and where we are with the economy and, just like on an enterprise side, like pretty lousy results from a lot of brands and things are flat at best. And so, I mean, certainly right now we think, okay, it's going to be a consolidation and maybe it's going to be like, low cost and value driver, but what about in 2 years time? I mean, we could be in a very different position 4 years time. Like, I mean, I think like there's going to be probably more feature sets built into like Yotpo, for example, and all the things that they're doing, or some of the other competitors that are out there, like Klaviyo, all the areas that they're growing into. I think some of those bigger ones are going to continue to add, but everybody else that's out there, it's going to be a trickier fight for the next couple of years.
I just met with Rise.io and I was so surprised to have learned about all the things that they just started incorporating. And I feel like they're going to keep maybe layering on different solutions and see what works and see what sticks and lean into that. And then probably consolidation on some of these apps being like, I just like love how close like Nosto, Gorgeous and Loop are. It's like always a party with those guys. And like, I love that they like, They just like do everything together. They support each other. I see the value add for our clients.
Well, and I also think, like, speaking back to the partnerships thing, I think Shopify and Glenn specifically, they talked about the built for Shopify. That was a big, right? So they went from 104 recommendations to 19. So that's like, hey, we're grabbing the feedback loop from apps and going and saying, hey, Glenn's saying, we want every app to feel like you're part of the Shopify admin, even if you're not. And then they're also building in those, you know, like admin extensions. So you're actually going to be able to call up parts of the admin, either in an app or in the admin call up an app. So for example, we have a gift card migration app that's public. And as part of that, you can have like customers need to be migrated into the store before you can attach gift cards with that. So we have like a documentation, like go to the customer accounts, add the persons. But imagine if you had a modal that could just bring up the customer portal, import the customers, and then import the gift cards all in one screen without leaving the app. Like, I think that's the vision of the future. And that's the fusion with AI and natural language of like, hey, import these customers and then create the gift cards, natural language. Like, I think that's the like overarching vision. So I think it's kind of like hop on the bus, apps, if you're down, like this is where we're going. We're going towards built with Shopify, and we want everything to feel like part of the ecosystem and not some like crazy extraneous, you know, AI or UI that we've never seen before.
Yeah. Totally. I would be remiss if I don't go over the headless bucket for a minute, because there was like definitely, I would say, the worst vibes in the call so far have been in this era of hydrogen. And I think if you were to poll me 3 years ago, something that Shopify felt it was behind on that it wanted to catch up on, it was, the answer would have been headless. Not the only thing, but one of the things. And it feels to me, based on the call and the direction, that that has changed. Shopify doesn't feel that way anymore. Like, almost like Shopify's like, headless, blah. Who cares?
Yeah, look at the personnel changes. And I mean, look, Ben Sale used to be leading that. And now, as of earlier this year, he's been moved off to something else. And so, I mean, I thought, to me, that was telling. It was like, okay, Ben moved to something new. Maybe it's not as important as it used to be. But, you know, you just look at just general personnel changes there and see what, just to try and gauge where things are happening. But that was the one.
I'm personally so relieved that headless is no longer the party trend word. It makes me so happy. I know. Well, Rick, you definitely know how I feel about it.
Replaced by agentic. Sorry.
Yeah. We have a bunch of new MCP, like all these new buzzwords.
Totally. But I think, you know, just simplicity is where it's at. That's where it's at for, you know, agencies, and that's where it is for merchants. Like, getting all these like systems and complexities, and it's just like, who wants to pay for that? Who wants to deal with that? Like, I like lose sleep just thinking about it. So I'm happy about the pivot.
Simplification is good.
Are you driving a stake through the heart of headless, Mark? Based on
I mean, Rick, you know, we spoke about it maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago. We had clients that were like, oh, we're going to go headless because it's faster. And I'm like, okay, show me the documentation on it being faster, because I don't see it. Yeah. And so we've probably migrated 20 merchants from headless back to themes in the last 5 years. Like, and that's just going to continue to happen. I would love to drive a stake into the heart of headless. I'd be happy to. But I also think that for enterprise, it needs to be an option, right? Like, if you have you know, this huge Fortune 500, 100 company, you're almost certainly going to be headless. So I think they have to have the option for enterprise. But I think anything save super enterprise doesn't need it.
Yeah, I think like there's always going to be occasion for it. And we've actually got a client where we've built with hydrogen, but also with full stack Shopify too, just multi-site. But, you know, it was a unique use case and it made sense there. But if you look at what Toby said years ago, I don't think he said I don't ever envision headless being more than about 5% of our total clients. And I think even that was probably a large number.
I think, yeah, my guess is if he were asked the same question today, he would revise that number down.
0.5? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know if 0.5 is the number or what the number is, but yeah. If you think Shopify's millions of merchants, 0.5 even starts to sound like a big number.
Indeed. Yeah.
Right. This has been an amazing conversation. I would love to wrap on a single kind of phrase or question. Like, if you had to describe Shopify to someone, what is it?
How many words?
A few words. What's Shopify?
All commerce all the time.
Mark?
Yeah. What I would say is I think about Shopify as being an enterprise operating system that enables mid to large businesses to compete with enterprise businesses. I think it really gives the tool set.
Are you being fed notes from Harley in the background?
No.
Is that what Izzy brought in?
No. Izzy's like, you've got a gun to my back. No. I mean, truly, that's where I get excited is,
yeah.
You know, I have this merchant, you know, an older lady that has a jewelry shop in Florida, and, you know, she's on TikTok Shop. She's on, you know, Facebook Marketplace and all those tools, you know, on WooCommerce are, you know, three plugins later and a dev to set up. I just think that's the secret sauce is really enterprise level tooling for mid to large business. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Jackie?
I feel like I want to steal Mark's quote from earlier, which is merchant first. It really, it is like a merchant first solution. And, you know, I have friends who just spin up their own Shopify sites, you know, all the time, and they're, you know, making their brands and making a living. And it's, you know, it's merchant first. Thank you, Mark. I'm quoting you on that one.
You're welcome.
Yeah, awesome. It's true.
Well, this has been a really great talk and conversation. We should definitely get together again. Maybe we can make it a yearly or quarterly.
After the next editions, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. After the next editions, we can set a date for next year. So I just wanted to appreciate and be thankful for you guys taking your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you.